organizers for inviting me. I'm very excited to be here. And dear Professor Noordegraaf, dear Julia, thank you very much for your very interesting and very thought-provoking talk about these innovative conservation practices. I am also very interested in how in these kinds of transformations in audiovisual archiving that are happening at this very moment, under the influence but also under the pressure, I would say, of digital media and the culture it produces. So I would like to begin by highlighting two points that you have made that struck me both as very pressing issues and also challenges to the way we think about archives, but also about media in general, and about network digital media in particular. And as you'll see, the questions that I will present afterwards that I would like to pose to you and the audience alike, engage with these issues from the particular or that particular understanding of digital media as network media. Now, as I was reading your presentation, your paper, I took the liberty to formulate an alternative subtitle to it, which could be, I think, thinking across media borders, because that is exactly what these new practices entail. And I think that both of the main issues you've presented, framed in this way, form a strong jumping-off point for considering the productive challenges that are posed to audiovisual archiving by network digital media. And they are, if I understand your arguments correctly, and please correct me if I'm wrong, as such, firstly, while it is, of course, important to consider the specific ways in which newer digital-born or digitized media differ from the former new, now old or less new, media that are being remediated in them, these differences should not be overstated. This raises the question of how and when these differences do matter, which you've formulated as the ontological essence of the medium, which does not necessarily, as you claim, reside in its materiality. Now, that for me immediately brought about the question of where this essence of the work or of the medium does reside. And you suggest that it resides somewhere in something what you could call a script or a score or an analogy of that. And where meaning then can arise in different specific performative events. Now, as you'll see, the questions I've prepared address this very interesting nuance, and I want to attempt to think along with your argument. The second central point you make is that innovative archival practices are needed to ensure that exactly that essence of the medium, that essence of the work, can be preserved and can be performed again when staging these digital-born or digitized works. And you've showcased some inspirational attempts to grapple with maintaining the authenticity of specific works of art throughout different technological instantiations. And you've made this very exciting claim, I think, that such innovative practices rely on being willing to cross conceptual boundaries between media. Now, thinking outside the box of traditional archival concepts such as authenticity, as somehow residing in the materiality of the object, or of provenance as being linked to some first instantiation of the work and its maker, that thinking outside the box of these concepts allows audiovisual archivists to take inspiration from process-based fields, such as dramaturgy. I think that inspires us to reformulate the title of this conference as well, The Limits of the Archive, as a question posed to art and media scholars, art and media archivists, and artists alike. How and when do the limits of media then matter? How and when are these boundaries meaningful? How and when should and can they be transgressed conceptually and also in practice? So if you can agree with this, let's say a summation of two of your main points, I'd like to invite you and the audience also to extend this analysis toward two important intersections, I think, between media discourses and archival discourses. Firstly, as you mentioned at the beginning of your talk, the fragmented and collective nature of digital culture, so its production, its preservation, its dissemination and interpretation, begs the question of authenticity and provenance. That is to say, of more or less objectively determinable origins and roots. So that raises a question that would be, I think, an extension towards epistemological issues. As Donna Haraway argued in 1988 already, in her article Situated Knowledges, with which you are undoubtedly familiar, both the modern and postmodern eras were marked by the persistence of vision as the dominant mode of both inductive and deductive reasoning, the dominant mode of doing science, the dominant mode of producing what we understand as objectivity. And that privilege of vision fundamentally begs the question of objectivity itself. And in your lecture, you mention how two installations, you discussed the one by Farvarmadam and also Cardenas, were not perceived differently by audiences. You say their phenomenological qualities remain the same. I think that raises the question, to what extent that sameness, in your opinion, results from visual similarity in the perception of the audience. So, are there also ways in which, epistemologically speaking, so in terms of whether the digitized work remains an objective or somehow more or less objective account of the original, are there also ways in which the remediation, recoding, and material reinstantiation of the work does matter? Since traditionally archives have been tasked with enabling the analysis and the production of more or less objective accounts by preserving authentic and contextualizable traces of clear provenance, this seems like an important question to me. Relating this maybe seemingly abstract question concretely to your lecture, I would like to invite you to discuss the following. Does the fact that an audience does not perceive differences between the analog and digital works mean that these differences are not there meaningfully? Is the archivist tasked to enable a subjective experience similar to the original work, or to preserve the, let's say, objective or material original? Is the essence of the medium or the work or object objectively located in a medium also, maybe? In the situated experience of it, or in its effect on a micro or macro scale? In other words, what does it mean to preserve cultural works digitally, and does it matter whether they are digitized or digital born? Yeah. That's my first question. I have a second one as well. My second question more directly concerns the networked nature of digital media, and I have to say, I think this is a part of your talk that you maybe had to cut short a little bit here, but it involves the notion of consent that you discuss in your paper, where, of course, these sort of new stagings, new exhibitions, new performative events also happen sometimes outside of the consent of the artist himself. Now, you explained that the nature, or the very nature, of digital media invites new user engagements, and your presentation shows that digital materials demand some kind of networked approach to conservation and dissemination. In fact, we could say that the networked nature of digital materials reformats ownership, authorship, and spectatorship in terms of networks. We may understand such networks, as you suggest, in terms of what Latour calls actor networks, so fields of relations between human and non-human actors that may act upon each other in various and complex ways. In your lecture, you focus predominantly on negotiations between human actors, I would say, who make collective decisions in a more or less equal field of relations, or at least within an ecosystem, as you call it, that allows considerations of responsibility with regards to the integrity of the work and the intention of the artist. However, from an ethical perspective, I think such considerations become much more complicated when we consider how such networks are also formatted by non-human actors. Due to the fluidity, the mobility, and mutability of digital materials, it would appear that brick-and-mortar archives, museums, and libraries are maybe no longer the privileged locations for the preservation and dissemination of digital culture. Mm-hmm. On the one hand, that's a pity. As you show, the museum or archive actually offers a very specific and carefully constructed context for artworks that you've shown to be quite crucial for communicating the artist's intentions, and that has the potential to add much to the spectator's experience. On the other hand, and we all know this, it might also be quite convenient. It's no longer necessary for spectators to be able to visit specific places in order to engage in some way with these works. However, I think that the really nitty-gritty ethical questions arise when we look at how information that was not initially intended for a broader audience begins to circulate on digital networks. An example that's quite recent, for instance, is that of Emma Holten, a young Danish feminist whose nude pictures taken for private use ended up online, and who recently did a photography project where she actually engaged again with nudity and photography, but with her very explicit consent for these images to be circulated on those same networks. I think these kinds of struggles of having digital material intended for different contexts suddenly circulate online is explicitly about consent. It's a cultural producer's ability or inability to control the context through which their work circulates and is consumed. I think that in these new configurations, consent is not merely a matter of negotiations between human actors. Digital technology's tendency to fragment, disperse, and circulate digital material across vast networks has reformatted the struggle over the right to be included and represented in archives, for instance, into the struggle over the right to be forgotten. And this is actually, I think, a discursive shift that we can notice right now. Mm-hmm. Indeed, doesn't this larger context of what we could call network ethics illustrate the potential value of opening the black box of preservation and exhibition practices? What you call the tendency towards over-documentation may in fact be of great value here. I would like to pose the question whether archives could, should, and perhaps already do now function as the privileged locations for experimenting with ethical relations between producers, consumers, institutions, materials, technologies, and discourses in the hybrid digital material spaces of network culture and society.